Hey, it's Bill Simmons. I have some good news for you. The Hottest Take, it's back. Oh, yeah. Monday through Thursday, four times a week, you hear from me, Chris Ryan, Sean Fennessy, Mallory Rubin, Wazdeen Lambre, Van Lathan, Julie Lippman, many other Ringer staffers. You get one take, you got to defend it to the death. Sports takes, pop culture takes, food takes, airplane takes. Oh, yeah, it's coming back. First episode drops August 29th. This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
And welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Halliwell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with everything we're consuming, do revenge, and we're also checking in with Marilyn Monroe's ghost.
It's been a minute. We have to hear what she has to say.
It's true. It's true.
Okay, so at the top, we are checking in with what we've been reading, watching, listening, etc. Go ahead, Amelia.
Yes. Okay. All of us guested on several podcasts, so that's very exciting. I would like to plug a couple of things. One is on this Ringer Dish feed. I know a lot of people who listen to Ringer Dish are huge fans of the podcast Who Weekly with Bobby Finger and Lindsay Weber. I myself am a big fan. So it was really fun to have Bobby on last week. We talked about The View.
Amazing.
Great. Great minds coming together.
Crossover of the century.
Yeah.
So that was great. Stuff.
Yeah. Bobby was awesome. And we talked about his book. It was really fun. And then also recently, I think probably an episode just before this episode comes out, I talked to Maitland Ward. If you are a fan of Boy Meets World and you watch the later seasons, she's like the really sexy redhead Rachel on the show. She's really fun. She was the roommate of the older boys, and she was she gave it to them, you know. Mm-hmm. And so she was on, and we talked about her memoir, Rated X, and she is awesome. And she just talked about some of her Boy Meets World people, like Topanga. We got to talk about Danielle Fishel, nice. Which was exciting. Yeah, and we talked about her transition from mainstream Disney to porn. She does that now, which is cool. And
Range.
Yeah, she was
it's
really
called
awesome.
Range. Look it
it's
up.
Called Range, and she does it wonderfully. So
amazing, yeah, multi-talented.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, Amelia has been an absolute content machine.
She has been working overtime, you guys.
This
in the
is
lab.
Just Ringer Dish. Like, she just wrapped up the challenge pod with Tyson.
Yeah.
Which was weekly. What else?
You guys are both on Everything is Cake
we're
now.
We're doing our Bake Off pod on Saturday.
Love that.
So if you guys are watching Great British Bake Off, that's
Amelia's
bad.
Been I love in it the already. Lab every day, churning out content
five,
for you guys.
She recorded five podcasts last week. That's like Chris Ryan numbers. That's crazy.
Yeah, seriously.
Crazy. And then perhaps most importantly of all, on this podcast for several years, our listeners know, real ones know, Liz Kelly has some thoughts on space and
hell
space
yeah,
travel.
She does.
And so really just like as a gift to the Tea Time audience, Liz made the rare podcast, alternate podcast appearance, perhaps her last ever, who can say. And she went on The Hottest Take and did 5 minutes on why we got to pull back on space travel. And
so good.
It was really great. It was efficient. It was accurate. And I don't know. I just think Tea Time listeners need to listen to it because we've been teasing that take for how long?
I love that Amelia has done like 75 podcasts in a week. And then I appear on the one. But you know what?
It's content. Content. Scarcity.
Exactly. It's what we need. It's what we deserve. It's what we need. I'm so excited. You guys
also, like,
to
you were
literally,
we had to talk about it because you literally have been like, had wanted to talk about this on Tea Time. Yeah. And then we're like forced to hold back for the hottest take. And then that take died in the darkness because of quarantine, because we recorded on our last day before we got sent home. So then you retaped it. And now finally, 2.5 years later, it's in the world.
We're over. I beat it. Anyway. Okay. So listen to all of that. Everyone's very busy.
A little self-promo for the Tea Time squad.
We never do it. So we might as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. So what I have been watching. Okay, you guys, last night, 9 p.m. on the dot, tuned into Hulu to watch the bombshell season 2 premiere of The Kardashians. And it delivered. I'm going to basically talk to Amelia here, but Kate, please chime in if you want to. Amelia, they focused the whole thing was about the baby. Chloe's baby.
I cannot wait to watch.
Can I spoil some things for you or no?
Please, yes.
The details that emerge from this episode about Tristan and this whole situation are actually so damning. So what we find out, season one finale, Kim gets the call. She reads the article. It comes out that Tristan has cheated. What we don't see was in that very same scene when she's in the gym and Chloe goes, I need to talk to you. And then it cuts to Kim going like, oh my God. What Chloe is saying on the phone to Kim is like, we have an embryo, like we are we are going to have a baby, which we as the public didn't know back then. But in the months since that episode aired, it has come out, the baby has been born, et cetera. So now the show is filling in a lot of the dots that like they edited out because of privacy reasons at the time. So we find that out.
Privacy reasons. Okay.
Then also what we find out is that Tristan was very encouraging of them having a second baby and like, very, not like, but just like really wanted this to happen and was kind of pressuring her for like a certain date, like by a certain time, they should get pregnant and like do it again. And it's because he knew.
Oh my God.
It's because he knew he was having a second baby. So all of this like time crunch that he was on was his own personal time crunch because he knew he had another baby on the way. Which is what we find out in that episode.
That's so sick. That's like which is truly terrible. Sick.
They did That's the embryo sick. Transfer literally days before Chloe found out about her having him having a baby with someone else, which is just so sad. And see, then it reminds us. Oh, go ahead.
Well, all I'm gonna say is like, see now that kind of absolves Chloe from stupidity.
Yes.
You know, just in general, because if she didn't know that, then now I feel bad for ever being like, you're an idiot. Oh. So.
Yeah. And that's what's talked about in the episode. It's like, everyone thinks I'm so stupid, but like, he was like encouraging this. He's been trying so hard and pushing so hard. And then several days before they went forward and did it. And then she found out, which is so sad. And then we're reminded of the fact that 48 hours before True was born, where Chloe was pregnant, she found out that Tristan was cheating on her. And it was just the like deja vu that she was having in this episode was so, so sad. But anyway, the baby's born in the premiere. The rest of the season seems like kind of a snooze, but this was definitely the one to watch if you're going to watch one of them.
God, and I know as a fact that they manipulate these shows. So I can also see them manipulating it to make Chloe look better, but I don't know. I just feel like, I mean, they'd have to be pretty sick to manipulate this.
There's only so much you can do
with
like, without like the raw material of like her being screwed.
Right. Yeah.
And who knows what they're editing, even that more facts around the situation, their real feeling, you know, it's still very buttoned up, but regardless, I thought it was based on the preview, it's going to be much more interesting than anything else. Any other storylines that they have coming out? So if you want to watch it, tune in. Kate, what do you have?
Significant pivot here. But if we're talking about what we're watching, guys, I'm still really trying to watch these like nerdy shows, the Ringerverse stuff. I've been watching Lord of the Rings show, been watching House of the Dragon.
Wow.
And they're both boring. And like, I really am trying to like them. And I don't mind a slow start. It's okay. But like, we're getting into like episode 5, 6, 7. Like we got it. Things have to start happening. Here are my major complaints. First of all, Lord of the Rings, it's fine. Honestly, I'm enjoying, I think, Lord of the Rings more than House of the Dragon.
Oh, wow.
Because like, at least it gives you people to root for and like pretty outfits and like fun names. Whereas House of the Dragon, like everyone's just like a piece of shit. And like, And there are no dragons. I'm like, how? Why are there?
Oh, really?
Why is this just a soap opera in a castle and everyone's wearing brown? You know? And I'm like, why? Can we learn that dragon's name? Is this not a dragon show?
Yeah, that is weird.
So my interest is slipping a little bit, I have to say. I need them to hook me back in somehow. Mm-hmm. People need to start making out with people who aren't related to them on either of these shows. Really, that's an issue with Game of Thrones. But
sure. Yikes.
You know, yeah, tough. Also, I am going to try Andor, which is like the new Star Wars show, because I love Diego Luna and I love his little beard. And I think he's really fun and cute.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've heard it's really good. But again, I'm like, you get a couple episodes. And if I'm bored, then like I need something else.
Kate, are you going to be more interested, do you think, when they switch the cast? Some of the, you know, adult members
actually. And I think that things will start happening more because, like, it's been a lot of, like, laying the groundwork.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need some dragon fights, you know? Yeah. Let's just a little sprinkle.
Who doesn't?
Like, set somebody on fire. I don't know.
That's funny.
My interest is slipping, like I said, and I'm falling back. Longtime listeners will remember that I often complain about how I struggle to finish TV shows, which I worry will happen with at least one, if not both, of these shows. So I really need, this is like a plea to listeners, maybe people on this podcast, I need like a short, low commitment, entertaining show just to like break my streak, you know, of not finishing shows.
What about, I know we've talked about it briefly, but the Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan Kenobi series.
You know, I actually should watch. If I like Andor and I'm in like the Star Wars mindset.
I'm surprised you haven't.
I should go back. I know. Listen, I really like him and his beard.
I'm not a huge...
Great beards in the Star Wars canon.
Exactly. I'm not a huge Star Wars fan by any means, but I watched it. It was really short. It was actually shorter than I thought it was going to be, and I really enjoyed it. So.
Okay, that's good. Also, Kaya just piped in with a recommendation in the chat, Bad Sisters, which Juliet and Chris also have told me to watch, which is the Sharon Horgan.
Someone else
Horgan
said that
show.
Too.
And I love Sharon Horgan.
Kate, so you should watch... And I already texted you this. Sex Lives of College Girls on HBO is really good. I watched an entire season in one night, and I... did that thing that I never do, which is I Googled when does season 2 come out. Like, it's just very digestible. It's not like the most enthralling, like it's kind of cheesy at times, but it's just like so easy to watch.
I started this and I think I just like randomly got distracted and stopped. It was a little like triggered my secondhand embarrassment a little bit.
As it's a little
struggle
hooky.
With.
Yeah.
You know who I really like on that show is the blonde girl who's like was in Legally Blonde the musical.
Renee Rapp. Oh. Yeah.
Yes. Her she's great. I wanted her to be, I like had a thing where I wanted her to be Glinda in the Wicked movie, which we're going to talk about casting for that in a minute. But she's like big on TikTok.
Yeah,
she's
she
a
is.
Lot of like singing.
She's so cool.
Yeah,
anyway.
She's really cool. I'm waiting for her to like be famous. But you're right. I should go back to that. I should watch Bad Sisters. I should watch Obi-Wan. Guys, great suggestions. Great work here. Amelia, what are you watching?
Oh my God. Okay, sorry. This is really embarrassing. What can I say other than I love me some Paramount Plus? I know. The only person.
Girl, we know.
I know. It's embarrassing. But actually, it's not. Great. Because let me just say, if you... go on to Paramount Plus, you will find a wealth of content, okay? And one of those being Ink Master. Yes, I think I've mentioned it on this podcast before, and I'm going to mention it again. Maybe, I don't know. I love that show. You're consistent,
and I love it.
Thank you. Well, they've rebooted the series because it went away for a little bit, I think because of the pandemic, and one of the judges had a whole blackface controversy, which was definitely not good. So, but they got rid of him. So he's no longer on the show. They got a whole new swath of judges. And, you know, I love Dave Navarro. He was a steadying presence on all, I think there were like 13 seasons of Ink Master.
Have you seen all 13?
Yes, I have.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
Unbelievable stuff.
I love this side of you so much.
Thank you. Listen, it was a dark time during the early days of the pandemic, and I found Ink Master. I found a warm embrace that is Ink Master.
Sure.
And I don't have any tattoos, nor do I plan on getting any tattoos because I am a very wishy-washy person and would probably hate a tattoo within 6 months of getting it. And also, I'm not really into pain. But anyway,
those are all swings and misses on the tattoo front.
Exactly. But let me just say, watching people get tattoos and the artistry going on here is really, it's a fun show. They're all like these crazy tattooer people who are really mean to each other. And we've got Dave Navarro, who was just an icon, truly an iconic host. His hosting ability, he should replace Jesse Palmer on The Bachelor. That's all I'm saying. And he also, I won't get into the memes, but there are a lot of memes with Dave Navarro hosting.
Love
get
a meme.
Get on it.
Yeah. I love to participate via memeing.
I'll send you them.
Great.
And, but anyway, so they have a new season out right now that they're showing. And we've got the first female judge. We have freaking Joel Madden, Nicole Richie's husband slash lead singer of Good Charlotte. He's the new host. Thankfully, Dave is still on the show. He's
thank
now
God.
The master of, yeah, thank God. He's now, quote, the master of chaos. That is his,
oh, wow.
New title.
Wow.
Is that like on his LinkedIn? That's amazing.
It should be. And he just comes in to fuck shit up. It's really great. So I'm just saying, if you have Paramount Plus and you're looking for something to stream, give Ink Master a try, okay?
Amazing.
It's a good show. It's a good show.
The best personal endorsement. Like, no client could buy that personal endorsement. That came
exactly.
straight from the heart.
Exactly.
last one.
Last one. Just a couple of music streaming recs to kind of finish out.
Yes.
You know, whatever you want to watch or listen to.
Well,
go ahead.
And also because, listen, I got a notification from Spotify the other day being like, this is the first song you listened to this year. And I
oh, yeah.
caught it as kind
important.
Of like... It's counting down the
it's
days.
Time.
It's
Wrapped
time. Time.
Yeah, it's September 22nd. Wrapped stops rapping on October 31st. It's
so
time
get
to
it
get
in
strategic.
Now.
You guys, thank you so much for telling me. I got to fix some things.
You got to just like turn your phone and like put it on a song that you want to be like your number one and then just like mute it
and just
leave it.
And walk away. Yeah.
This is the best PSA. Okay.
Incredibly important PSA. But if you want to try some new artists, if you're like, ooh, I got to get, you know, I don't know, Florida Georgia Line out of my number one spot. Here are some options for you. These are all from last week's New Music Friday. Three big albums in the pop music world.
Yes.
There's a new Blackpink album, a new Fletcher album, and a new Rina Sawayama album. And they're all really fun. I recommend listening to them all. However, I have a complaint that they all have in common, which is that everyone wants you to know that they're in therapy. And everyone wants you to know that they're like a feminist. And there are so many songs. Rina is like the most like therapizing example of this, where it's like not every song needs to be about like believing in yourself and like, you know, overcoming your child, like in finding your inner child.
Childhood.
You can just go back to, I don't know, just like being like a little more toxic and fun. Fletcher, same way. Just like a lot of like, I got to tell me that I love me. I'm like, you don't actually. And I don't need to hear you tell yourself that. And then Blackpink, couple songs where it's like, you know, I don't like, I'm that girl. Like I'm not in the kitchen.
Oh,
I'm paying
shit.
For it, which is like fun, but also is like, okay, this is like very like, you know, 2019
like
nasty women t-shirt on Etsy, you know,
we don't need it. We don't need it.
We've evolved past this. So I just need the pop girlies, like, continue going to therapy, but, like, I don't need to hear about it. And, you know, it's very, like, performative feminism that I could... Mm. It's, like, being toxic is fine. It's fun sometimes. Yeah. So, in your
you heard
songs,
it here first from Kate Hallowell.
Feminism is canceled, actually.
On record.
That's my take.
Again, that was Kate
but
Hallowell.
Not Liz Kelly, who does not endorse this take. But, yeah, great note by Amelia, guys. Pay attention to your Spotify Wrapped. It's time.
It's scary, everyone.
That was such a good way to end that. That's right. Okay. Next category will be shorter and not worth the tea this week in social media and a lot of relationship news. Kate, you're first.
Big relationship news of the week. And honestly, I'm going to skim over the relationship part because the meme part is so much better.
Yeah, sure.
Adam Levine cheated on Bahati Prinsloo, or at least people think that he did. Started when someone on TikTok came forward and said that he sent her all these like texts that they had an affair. He was like, I never had an affair with her. I was just messaging her. All these other women have come out being like, he also sent me these messages. They're calling them texts everywhere, but they're like via Instagram DMs.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they're really texts. They're DMs.
They're DMs,
from his verified account, which is so stupid as a married man. But really, like, this was like, okay, like, famous musician cheats on wife. Like, what's new, really? However... people have really had a good time with some of these sexts or texts or DMs, whatever you want to call them.
Commentary.
I will read a few and then I want to debate because there are a lot of headlines about like these are, this man is terrible at sexting. And like, I don't think he's nearly as bad as some of the famous men whose sexual texts we have seen, like Jeff Bezos or Like anyone. There are so many, there are so many more awkward, awkward ones. Whereas Adam Levine is just like very basic. A lot of emoji usage, which I found very entertaining. He, you know, he was like, the one that's going everywhere is like, holy fucking fuck, the body of yours is absurd. Which people have turned into a meme about like wine or like, oh, my editor opening up my piece and the body, you know. He has another one where it's like, I may need to see the booty. Fuck.
Oh, gosh.
There's another one that's like, fuck, I'd do anything for it. Spiral face emoji. Stop, he loves an emoji. And also, there was an important, actually, I forgot. The real issue, the first woman who shared his text, he asked her if he could name his baby after her. Which
Sumner.
Like, Sumner. Stroh is her name. She claims that they had a year-long affair. And the message that he sends her is like, would it be weird? Would it be okay if I named my baby, Hottie Prinsloo's baby, after woman that he allegedly had an affair with? And then he has a little shruggy face emoji. And I'm like, the emojis are out of control. So I found the emojis the funniest part, frankly. But there are so many headlines. They're like, Adam Levine is so bad at sexting. Adam Levine is sending these insane messages. And like, some of them are very bad, for sure. Like, very cringe. Sure. But also like, not nearly as bad as what we've seen.
Exactly.
And what we often see, right?
No.
Yeah.
Also, they seem just like standard, like, you're hot. Like,
pretty basic. Like,
okay. Yeah, exactly. I don't understand. Like,
it's not
really
Army Hammer. It's not Army Hammer shit. This is not. Well,
that is so true. That is so true.
It's not a video of Ben Affleck that he sent on Raya where he was like, it's me.
You know, it's true.
It's just like kind of like basic horny shit from Adam Levine with some added emojis.
Exactly. Wait, can I read my favorite?
Please.
Okay, so there's by at Beverly Fam. It's my laptop when I try to run more than one Adobe app at a time, and it's him going, it is truly unreal how fucking hot you are. Like, it blows my...
I love the laptop ones.
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
That even been really good. And people have really run with that. So I think their discourse has been extended because of the meme life.
Yeah,
I think obviously would still be talking about it. Obviously, it's big news. He's a married guy. He's famous. He's on a family show. He's on The Voice, whatever. But yeah, the texts have evolved into a longer shelf life.
And I appreciate the texts more than the discourse going on.
Same.
Because I don't know if you saw now. It's like, I think Sarah Foster was saying like, you know, it takes two to tango. And then we had Emily Ratajkowski being like,
I saw this.
She is not to blame. She was a young girl. And I'm just like, I don't care about any of that.
Well,
have you guys literally,
not to extend this conversation, have you seen the people on TikTok taking this with what she's saying, which is that she was new to LA? And that's and everyone was like, girl, what does that mean?
Like, obviously everyone knew that Adam Levine was married. Like, these women made a choice. Sure.
Right, exactly.
Anyway.
Like, I don't, again, like, like, that does not interest me particularly. It's more the memes.
The memes. The memes. Yeah. Always focus on the memes. Because the rest is just trash.
The rest is annoying, but memes are forever.
Exactly. Exactly.
The next relationship news, this is kind of, we thought they were, I think they're not, maybe Kanye West is maybe not dating Candace Swanepoel, who's the Victoria's Secret model. Very famous, beautiful model. And there were reports swirling around like New York Fashion Week that they were spotted together. They left a Yeezy Gap like after party together, maybe. Now everyone's kind of saying that she is a muse of his, that they're not dating, or some are saying it's a PR stunt. Mm. I kind of more believe those kind of like, I don't really know. I miss Julia Fox a lot. And so if we're going to talk about his dating life, which I don't want to do, I'd rather have it be talking about Julia Fox. But yeah, whatever. This is maybe happening, probably not. And Julia Fox.
At least she like matched his chaos, you know?
Yes.
Candace Swanepoel.
It was like fun
like,
to talk about. There's like nothing here, kind of.
There's nothing
here.
She's more Leo core than Kanye
core.
But who knows?
Good call. All right. Next one.
All right. I know I'm the only person who cares about this, but I think we have some listeners who care, so I have to say it. I've been keeping an eye on this Wicked movie starring Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo and had a lot of questions about who was going to be the male lead, Fiero. I was running a on-the-ground campaign for Dev Patel, which has not taken off.
You tried, however, though. You tried.
I tried. Let it be known. But there are rumors that the role may go to Jonathan Bailey from Bridgerton, which is very exciting for Bridgerton heads like myself. Also, very smart, because I have to imagine the Venn diagram of people who care about the Wicked movie and people who watch Bridgerton is just the exact same amount of people. That's just a circle. Yep. So this is exciting. I think he's great. I think he's going to blow up. And I'm really into this. So seeing across the board, very positive reactions to this. So hopefully that gets confirmed. And I'm excited for this movie.
That is interesting, because you know how Reggae John Page really blew up after, and this guy didn't get the same treatment. So hopefully
it's been more steady with this one, with Jonathan Bailey. I think people, he just kind of like waited and bided his time, and now is like getting a lot of roles and a lot of, you know.
That's a great point, because he's been getting better roles than Reggae John Page.
He has.
Like.
Reggae John Page is not doing much. Like, has not gone as many places as people thought he would go.
They really thought he was going somewhere. And he just got to
wait
park.
And see sometimes.
Yeah. There you go.
Lastly, Amelia, it's that time again where we force you to talk about The Bachelor.
No, thank
on this
you.
Podcast.
I want to, because let me tell you, The Bachelor is like a prison that I'm forever in. And I mean, I don't mean to like make a rude analogy or anything, but it really, oh my God. But it's true.
But you're
okay.
Trapped. I left you
I'm
in
trapped.
There and I feel really bad.
It's
how is
okay.
it
I'm,
on the other
I'm
side?
Glad, it's horrible, but I'm happy for you that you've gotten out, truly, because it has been so painful to watch the show. It just has really gone down. They fired the wrong EPs. Like, the production is not good. We don't know what's going on. Yeah. And now the new Bachelor is a guy named Zach Shawcross, whose only redeeming quality is that he is the nephew of Kronk, the guy who played Kronk in The Emperor's New Groove.
I know exactly who you're talking about. Does he sound like Kronk?
He does have like a deeper voice.
Okay. All right. That is a redeeming quality.
It is, yeah. So there's that, I guess. I don't.
Okay. Well,
he
grasping
was
at
brought
straws.
Exactly. Oh, trust me, I am. And
are you talking about this man, Patrick Warburton?
Yes.
This random actor?
An icon of cinema.
Icon of cinema. He also played Putty, if you're familiar with Seinfeld. Really great role. And, you know, Zach, who is the new Bachelor, they trotted him out on stage. And I love the host of the show, Jesse Palmer, is psychotic. And he was like, he introduced Zach to like five women who are going to be on his season. Mm. And then at the end, he was like, okay, Zach, can you name all five of them? And he could not name. I don't think he could name a single one of them. He like got the names wrong. It was really bad. It was
honestly,
God,
that's
so
really
bad.
Hard. I wouldn't be able to do that. That's like a stressful situation. And you just kind of like black out. And
yes.
That's really difficult.
It was like, that was wrong of Jesse Palmer to do that. That was, but I also like, thank you for your service. But, yeah, I mean, it's not good. The finale was not good. The guy who one of them ended up like, quote unquote, cheating. He just like kissed a girl, which is not great. But like, do we have to publicly humiliate him? I don't know. And then the other guy who won had a history of doing blackface and didn't apologize for the racism aspect. Yeah. And so that wasn't great either. And it's just like, this is not a show I can watch anymore.
Very, like,
it's like just,
lesser of two evils at this point.
Truly. It's just like, do better. Like, we need you to hire a whole new casting person. It's just like, I can't watch the show anymore.
It's no Ink Master. I mean,
it's
what
no
is, right?
That's so true. It is no Ink. Hey,
they can't
Ink
all
Master.
Be.
They fired the guy who did blackface. Okay. So
there
that is
go.
A step
That's a
in the right direction.
To aspire to.
Exactly. I would hope that reality shows would do that at the very least.
Yes,
but here's
the
Bachelor.
On the floor.
It is on the floor. The Bachelor over here is proving us wrong. And it's just pathetic and embarrassing. And we shouldn't have to beg them to be held to a better standard. Yeah. But here we are.
So
know?
How much time do you have before you have to dive back in? So what is your off season looking like?
Well, Liz, that's a great question. That's a scary question for me. Because my mental health because of the show is really hanging.
That's not funny. Sorry. Yeah.
No, it is funny. It's fine. It's really funny. Because I have to laugh or else like I will kill myself.
Amelia's like getting like slightly hysterical.
Yeah.
Right. So they're back on the beach. Thankfully, it's the best show of the franchise. It is Bachelor in Paradise, which,
oh, good.
God, if there's any show that could save this franchise, it is Bachelor in Paradise. It's it also, I mean, trash people on this show too, but it's more fun. You know, you're following several storylines instead of one that just ends horrifically. So I think it comes back maybe next week or a week after.
I just Googled it. Paradise, I think, is next week.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Amelia, I'm so sorry. No. But I do hope this season is better. The whatever, Paradise is better.
Godspeed.
It is better,
Godspeed, Amelia.
Thank you.
Hang in there.
Praying for you.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. Things are expensive these days, especially for businesses, from the materials to distribution, borrowing, wages, everything costs more. That's why businesses are making the smart choice and graduating to NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. If you want to reduce costs and headaches, this is how you do it. It's never a bad idea to save money. Like right now, we got, you know, summer's coming up. Do you want to go away? Where are you going? Are you renting a place? You doing Airbnb? Going to a hotel? Need a little money for all that stuff. Why not try to save some money now? Over 37,000 companies have already made the switch. Do the math. See how much you'll profit with NetSuite, especially right now, because now through April 15th, NetSuite offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That's netsuite.com/ringer.
Okay, let's do cringe mode. This week we're doing Do Revenge on Netflix. Feels like people are talking about it. We watched a trailer a while back. It seemed interesting. Kate, you want to go through the plot?
Guys, fun movie. This was new to Netflix. It was, you know, people are always talking about kind of like the new teen movie on Netflix, but generally it's like a lot of like, oh, look at this cringy scene. Can you believe that this isn't a movie? Mm-hmm. Whereas I was very surprised to see a lot of tweets about Do Revenge being like, this is super fun. I'm having a great time. Netflix really did a good job with this one. So we were like, let's watch for once a good teen movie on Netflix. It's been a while. So this is kind of like a black comedy kind of thing. It is about Drea and Eleanor, who are high school seniors, played by Camila Mendes and Maya Hawke. And basically it starts, Camila Mendes' boyfriend releases like a sex tape basically that she made for him. She is like ostracized at school. She was kind of the popular girl, no longer. On the other side of things, Maya Hawke wants to get revenge on she like came out to this girl she had a crush on. The girl like made everyone think she was a predator. So she wants revenge on her. Basically, long story short, they decide to swap revenge plots. So like Camila Mendes is going to get revenge on Maya Hawke's sort of ex-girlfriend person. And then Maya Hawke is going to get revenge on the boyfriend who leaked the sex tape. All sorts of things occur. There's a plot twist at the end. Should we tell them the plot twist? Do we have to talk about it?
Yeah, we should talk about it.
Yeah.
Skip ahead 15 seconds if you don't want to hear the...
There is a plot twist at the end. I'm assuming you've probably watched this or you're not going to watch this if you're listening to this. Basically, it turns out that Camila Mendes actually was the person that outed Maya Hawke's character and made people think she was Predator. She had forgotten this encounter. So basically, it's all like Maya Hawke is trying to get revenge on Camila Mendes without her knowing this. It's very like Gone Girl situation a little bit here at the end. And then they like end up like making amends, getting revenge on the boyfriend together and being, I don't know, friends again.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
There's a lot that happens in between, but that's generally the plot. Sorry, that was kind of long and rambling.
No,
but it's a complicated movie.
It is a complicated movie.
I'm so happy that I didn't have to describe that. That was, difficult.
Yeah, that was good.
So some highlights, their school uniforms in this movie are not just school uniforms like you're picturing. They're so much fun. They're pastel. There's so many accessories. And I would give them a 10 out of 10. Maya Hawke is in like a beret. There's a lot of, I don't know, like these weird jackets that is in like different materials and different colors. They're like pink, green, and purple plaid.
Very cute.
They're great.
Yeah.
Like very, like not futuristic, but like, and I guess I'll talk about this in a minute, but like you would never see this in a real school. Like no school has like pastel green and pastel purple. And those are exclusively the uniform colors. It was like almost like, I don't know, like Black Mirror alternate reality.
Yeah. Yes, totally.
I don't know.
Well, yes.
And also I think it's a great Halloween costume this year. I feel like we could do that pretty easily, you know?
Prime timing on Netflix's part.
Truly.
Already articles on like where you can grab this stuff. So that was good. And then the other thing, so I watched it, thought it, and then saw later an article I just wanted to quickly shout out. Laura Bassett wrote on Jezebel about this kind of, it's Netflix's Drew Revenge is an instant teen dramedy classic. Basically, what we're going to say and what she notes is that it pulls from a lot of very classic rom-coms of the past. My favorite was they have this like paintball makeout scene, which originally was in 10 Things I Hate About You, which I just love, works every time. And it was like very specific. It like immediately reminded me of that movie. And then there's this other scene where the hallway kind of erupts into madness because all of the different cliques realize that one person from each clique has hooked up with this guy, the one same guy that released the sex tape. And so you have kind of these people busting out, and it like cuts from group to group to group, and it's very Mean Girls-esque when all the papers are flying and the gym teacher is like, oh my God, like it's great. But I know you guys recognize other ones too.
Yeah. It's like a very self-aware tribute to like the older rom-coms. Yeah. Introducing the school cliques is always a classic. Also from 10 Things I Hate About You and Mean Girls, Maya Hawke's character gets like an intro to the major cliques at the school. But they're like updated in kind of a way that remind me of like 21 Jump Street, where it's like, oh, like the econ kid, like the environmental kids are like suddenly cool. And they're like, what is happening? Like, why jocks like the main clique? So the cliques that they identify in this movie are the Zodiac Thoughts.
Oh, my God.
Like the spooky girls who are like doing like a little, you know, I don't know,
witchy
tarot
magic
reading. Yeah. The Horny Theater Kids, which is funny. They have like a Lin-Manuel Miranda joke in there. The Farm Kids, who are like kind of the stoner, you know, environmental kids. And then Rose Hills Royal Court, which is, of course, the popular kids. But I just, I always love how like movies update like the popular kids.
The hierarchy. Yeah.
As that time goes on.
That is good. That was a fun scene for sure. I know there were call outs to like Clueless. Several times she had like even the uniforms were kind of clueless with like that iconic yellow and the narration, too, I think you could say is probably clueless. And then also there's like a scene where they do croquet. And I think that's like kind of Heather's, which is, again, like, '80s, '90s. Yeah. And like Mean Girls kind of thing, which I thought was interesting. And they did a good job with that.
Agreed.
And then also just kind of going off of that as well, they cast Sarah Michelle Gellar as the principal. And that I feel like kind of harkened back to her role in Cruel Intentions, which they kind of do the same like revenge, like here we can do each other's stuff or I challenge you to this kind of thing. So I was like, wow, great to see her because we haven't seen her in a long time. I thought she was really fun as the principal.
Yeah.
So that was great. And then overall, I really liked the cast diversity going on here. So
They made it look easy, you know? There's some movies like this where it's like, ooh, we are so diverse and everyone is different and everyone loves who they loves. And it's like, okay, it doesn't, like, they just made it look very easy and like natural and like this is high school.
Natural.
And, also, it's a real who's who of like who is in like other teen stuff across Netflix and HBO. Like I saw this thing where it like accredited like 10 of these like main high schoolers to other Netflix, HBO, like other streaming shows. So it's like a lot of synergy. Mm-hmm. There's like a couple people from Outer Banks, which I can't believe I watched, but yeah, you just like recognize them from other teen stuff.
Definitely.
Exactly. What else, Kate?
Yeah, we'll talk about the boyfriend later on, but some fun needle drops in here without feeling like too terribly dated. There was a really good one. Camila Mendez is like, says something about how peaking in high school is so cringe. And then it cuts right to Brutal by Olivia Rodrigo, which is about, you know, how being a teenager is just brutal. And it's just like a really like upbeat kind of like metal song over the credits, which I was like, that just really hit. Little Silk Chiffon by Phoebe Bridgers and Muna in here as well while they're rollerblading, which is great.
Nice.
Another highlight, the side love interests are both just like really funky and hot and fun. I thought they were great. I wasn't, honestly, like I said, it's like a long movie, or like, I guess this is Liz Lowlight. I'm getting ahead of it. We'll come back to it. But it takes a long time to set it up. And I was like, are there not love interests in this? Like, where is this going? Are they going to fall in love with each other? Is this movie super gay? Like, what's happening? And then they kind of like halfway through sort of introduced kind of like the end game side, like guy and girl. And they're both just really fun. I was like, just great job. Like, I had never seen any of them in anything. I don't know if Liz, your flow chart had any of that, but
good.
I was like,
casting once again.
Yeah. Yeah. Just really fun. Great casting. And just did the job.
I love that. Yeah, I agree. I also think they kind of switched it up in terms of setting, because I feel like usually with these teen movies, a lot of times they're in Los Angeles or like in New York and stuff. And they're like, we're going to Miami. And
yeah,
I was
you're
like,
right.
Sure, why not? Let's do it. Let's go to Miami. So that was fun. Yeah,
I agree. And it took me, I somehow missed that they were in Miami. And I was like, where is this? Because like I said, it's like very, you know, kind of like a funky world. Mm-hmm. And then like midway through, I was like, oh, that's why it like wasn't quite right. Like quite what I was used to in terms of LA. But yeah, overall highlight, I was just like very entertained by this movie. I thought it was like very fun and written really well and acted really well and it looked great. And it's not perfect, obviously. Like, we'll get into the lowlights in a minute. Right. But probably, I thought, unless I'm missing something obvious, like the best Netflix teen movie since like To All the Boys.
Wow, that's high praise.
What's a better one? I couldn't think of anything better.
I can't think of.
I'm sure there's a couple of gems. There have to be some gems in the four years since then. But it's my been mind, some swings and misses in recent years.
My mind is going to like Night Teeth, which was not a good movie.
Terrible. Oh, I mean, we've watched a lot of the bad ones.
That's the thing. We've watched a lot of the really popular Netflix
There was one movie, I think it was called The Half of It. That might have been on HBO. I don't remember. I liked that one. But it was a little more like indie. It wasn't the same like splashy, popular actors who are,
in your face.
What I mean?
Totally.
Yeah. So in terms of that, Netflix has tried a lot of these, like that Rumor Wilson movie we watched, which wasn't really for, not Rumor Wilson, what's her name?
Addison
Rumor Wilson.
Wait, what?
Yeah, we watched the Addison Rae one. Yeah, there have been some misses here. So this I thought was really pretty great. Yeah,
it was. I agree. I know. And I don't mean to be like, I'm a film auteur, because I'm obviously not. Like, I'm not. You go to the big
picture
for that.
Go ahead, Sean Fennessy, hit it.
But I thought this was like a really well-acted film.
I thought so too.
Right? And I liked this. I thought the script was good too. At first I was like, oh, yikes. But then I was like, you know what? No, this is actually legitimately solid and this is good. And I was wrong.
Yeah. And it started out quippy and I was like, ooh.
Right.
Because it's easy to go bad. Especially with like the scenes of like the adults talking to the kids. I was like, ooh, like this could be really awkward and cringe. But actually like I thought it really worked.
Me too. And I think your quippy point is really good because it really did start as like, okay, this is definitely, someone wrote this in 2022. But it was like a solid plot and everything, which I read somewhere that it's actually based on a Alfred Hitchcock film, Strangers on a Train, which is a Patricia Highsmith novel. Yeah. So it was like, I love a good updated version of an older story. Sure. So, and then also, I also really, you know, I rarely approve of the whole, but I want to go to Yale, mommy, kind of script. Because it's like, you know, we got that with, was like, not the All the Boys
other,
one,
the
but
other,
the other
Noah Centineo movie. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And they're all like, I want to go to Stanford.
It has to be an like, Ivy, an Ivy or nothing.
Exactly. But they did that in this film and they did it in such like a perfect way that I was like, good job.
It worked.
Yeah, it works. Yeah.
Just to segue into lowlights, all of this said, I did think the last half hour went a little off the rails with the Gone Girl plot twist. I was like, okay.
Let's talk about it.
Let's do it.
It felt like a full movie with the two of them doing revenge on the other two people.
Yeah.
And then I look, and it was maybe 45 minutes where this big reveal came out. And then a lot happened after that. It was very packed. So I'm not going to say it was slow, but it was almost too much where she gets hit by a car. She goes to the hospital. They have a party. Then this other thing happened. There's a dinner that the two of them have. It's like there's so much after that. Where I understand a plot twist is not going to be the whole point is that it fools you at the end. But there was a big chunk after where I was like, oh God, I have to sit back down. And like, this is not over, you know?
Right. It was a real tonal shift too.
Yes.
Like the threatening nature. And like suddenly we had all these shots of Maya Hawk like brooding in a bathtub. It's like, is she going to kill someone? Like what has happened here? Yeah. And I just was like, I think I'd like to go back to like the fun, wacky, like comedy of the first hour and a half, please. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't love that. And it did feel really long. They set up
really long.
The setup is good. And I think it helped in the long term. But like, we don't even meet Maya Hawke's character until like 20 minutes in, almost like 15, 20 minutes. It starts with Camila Mendes. And then you get Maya Hawke. And then he goes, and then there's Sophie Turner's here for 2 seconds. And then it's like,
You know, and Sophie Turner was in the beginning too for like 10, you know, there was a whole mini plot then. I'm like, well, that could have just.
Yeah. Cut. There was a lot of like setting up. And then it was like, we finally were in the main movie. And then it was like, oh, wait, there's another part of this movie that we have not even begun. And I know that that's how movies work, but it was too long.
We might be talking, we might be describing story structure. Story and arc,
but a three-act structure.
Regardless, but too long. Too long.
Yeah, not into it. We're anti three-act structure. Like I've said multiple times already, I got ahead of myself. This almost feels like, I don't know if you guys have seen like Sex Education or Bridgerton or like these movies where, or these TV shows where it's like, feels like a different time or a different place.
Yeah.
This like kind of like quirky alternate reality where people are wearing like more over the top versions of clothes that we wear or like acting in more over the top ways or like society just looks more beautiful than usual. And like, it feels like out of time a little bit and out of place a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I didn't dislike it. I thought it added like a fun visual element, but it was a little jarring, like with the uniforms and with just like all this other stuff. I was like, I know it's set in 2022 because of the references. And like, I know that it's in Miami because I finally figured that out. But like, I don't know. There's like an alternate reality element of it where it's like a little bit unrealistic purposefully. Yeah.
Totally. Well, even the whole like sharing the sex tape, it's like, isn't she underage? Like you guys, last time I checked, that's like child pornography and you're going to prison. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And like the auditorium where they have the sign and like the signs behind them. I'm like, none of this would ever happen. And that's fine. But like, it took me out of it a little bit where I was like, this is a little, almost too over the top. And I liked it because it was entertaining, but I also was like, it was jarring to me. Mm-hmm. Another low light for me. Again, I think this, like you said, it was very well acted, but something about Maya Hawke bugs me so much. Something about her facial expressions when she acts, where she's like suddenly talking out of the side of her mouth and like doing like all these like little, like goofy me, like facial expressions really bugs me. I find her really annoying. And also she's lying about her height on Google. There's no way she's 5'8". So she's 5'8". She's towering over every single person in this movie. Okay.
There's simply no way she's
5'10". Like, come on.
Yeah. Tall recognizes tall and she's 5'10" at least.
Gangliest person I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I'm maybe like a Maya Hawke anti. It's just in my blood. I can't help
it.
Sorry.
So would you say she's not your favorite nepotism baby?
She's not. She's low on my list of nepotism babies, but I'll keep you posted if that changes.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. You know, just on the casting note, I'm sorry. And this is a deep cut. So I'm going to need everyone to Google DJ Qualls.
Okay, right now.
Google him.
On it.
Because he looks so much like the male lead in this, the Max character, that I just like, I couldn't. I'm like, no.
This
sorry.
Guy.
I'm not believing it. He looks like DJ Qualls. And it's just like, DJ Qualls is like.
How do you even know this man, this pull?
It's stored deep within the recesses of my brain. It's bad. But he was like in a couple of big movie or ish movies in like the early 2000s. And it's just like one of the movies was like called like The New Guy. And he was like a nerdy guy. And then he became cool. But like he is just he looks like he could play Shaggy in like a live action Scooby-Doo. Like it's just like I'm not believing if you're
heartthrob, looks like DJ Qualls. I'm not believing it. I'm sorry.
So this is Austin Abrams, who I think Amelia has not seen Euphoria, but he's in Euphoria. Mm-hmm. And he plays with, ironically, a horny theater kid in Euphoria. But it is really funny to see him in like the popular kid role, because in Euphoria, he's like the nerdy kid and like goofy and like not cool. So it was it was jarring for him to be like the king of the school. But I did think it was like kind of another, like kind of like Dave Franco again in like 21 Jump Street, where it's like, you know, he's like, it's like a different type of cool kid these days. Like,
but at least Dave Franco's alternative like hot. Kids.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm sorry. This guy's just like not hot. I don't mean to be rude, but like, he's just not hot. I'm sorry. In my
tan
opinion,
is really tough.
It's just also, all that's
helping
tough.
Him out.
I'm just like, you look like
it was
DJ
a, it was a big, it was a big swing for Austin
it's a big
Abrams
role
here.
To fill.
Yeah. And it might've been a miss. It might've been a miss.
They do a good job making fun of like the woke 2022 phenomenon in this movie.
Right.
Like in, not like a, you know, I say they're making fun of wokeness, like in like
but
a self-aware way.
Performative wokeness.
Right. Yes. Thank you. They do a pretty good job at that. Cause I, you know, it can get a little cringe, but low light, there are several like, this is the problem with the patriarchy monologue. I'm coming out as really anti-feminism on this podcast and I really didn't mean to going in. It's just another one where I'm like, we know, like we understand your sex tape. You shouldn't have been the victim. He should have been the victim. Like we understand that. And if we'd cut out a lot of like really laying that out, this movie could have been 10 minutes shorter. I'm like, we know, we understand that it's a problem that you're the one that people are making fun of and it's not, and it's his fault. Like we know.
Plus this isn't the first movie to, anyway. Also everyone was a bad person. And I, even there was one moment where the effing principal, Sarah Michelle Gellar, said something so rude and annoying to like Camila Mendes about something. And I was like, so just everyone's a dick in this and I don't like any of you.
Yeah.
Which was a little tough. No one to really root for.
Totally.
Okay. Let's do MVP quickly. Kate, who's your pick?
We mentioned previously, Sophie Turner is in this movie for literally 2 minutes. She was like really just a cameo, but she gave me everything. She came
she was
in.
Awesome.
She put on her best like Jake Gyllenhaal overacting shoes.
Yeah.
You know, where like she was like, this is a fun role for once. I'm not dying in Game of Thrones in the middle of the frozen tundra trying to act to like a giant CGI green blob that they're going to turn into a wolf. And like, I'm going to have fun with this. And she did. She gets framed for cocaine. She's like a popular girl. She's in this like, I don't know, wellness retreat. She's like drawing like a drawing of Camila Mendes with like, I don't know, a snake tongue and horns. I'm like, I don't know why you're here,
she's
but
great.
I'm glad that you are.
Yeah.
And I missed you.
She's and so good.
Now I want her to do like a real movie like this.
Yeah. Would you have liked her in the Maya Hawke role?
I don't know. I feel like Maya Hawke's role has to be like a little bit goofier, you know, like kind of awkward. But yeah. I mean, I would love Sophie Turner in every role. I'm pro Sophie Turner. So she could have done maybe Camila Mendes' role.
I was going to say, that's my MVP. She should have a very long career as being a villainous person. There's something about her beautiful, beautiful bone structure and face shape and her eyebrows where she does an incredible villain. When she eventually turns kind of like, I guess she wants revenge the whole time, but really like at the very end. A lot of these close-ups, so the structure of her face and her like stare, I'm like, oh my god, she should be a villain in every movie.
The eyebrows are all time. I've never watched Riverdale, so I like had never really seen her act in anything. She's really good.
She
does a great job. She was fun.
Amelia,
I agree.
Who's your MVP?
Totally. I just want to say that I totally agree with about Cami Mendes. I think I was watching this and I was like, she's a star. Like she can carry a film, which I think is so rare these days. And she is just like, I was captivated by her. She's so funny too. Like she has great comedic timing. She just, she's incredible. So cast her in more stuff. She is amazing. I love her. Also don't watch her Riverdale. So I, you know, I'm coming kind of unfamiliar and I was just like taken by her. Anyway.
Agreed.
I would say the director slash writer of this, Jennifer Caton Robinson, who directed this and also co-wrote it with Celeste Ballard. Great job, ladies. Great job.
It's not easy. We have dragged so many of these kind of movies where we're like, adults don't talk like this. This is terrible. Netflix, stop trying to make this happen. And like, they really did it.
Oh, she also wrote Thor, Love, and Thunder?
So, interesting.
According to IMDb,
I just watched it recently. Okay, anyway, we got lightning round questions. We got three of them. First, would you be a purple uniform girly, a green uniform girly, or a mix and match girly? Who wrote this?
Me. Listen, in this movie, they change. They switch outfits. It's very important. Like whether someone has a beret or like the little bow tie, like Maya Hawke's character like evolves from like a purple slouchy sweater vest and khakis to like the green pleated jacket and skirt. And so I was like, listen, if we had to do this, obviously you have some choices within the spectrum of pastels here. What's your move? What's the move? Personally, I'm warm toned. So neither of these options are great for me. I don't look good in cool colors. So I would have preferred something with a warm element. However, I think I would go green sweater vest and the skirt. Maybe the skirts were cute. I think the ties might be mandatory. So maybe I'd go with the regular tie. I don't really like the bow, but no beret. I don't need the extra height.
Okay, sure. Amelia. That's a good point. I like the mix and match.
Yeah.
Why not?
Ooh, get a little crazy.
Exactly. I agree with you, Kay. I'm so fair. I'm so pale that none of these colors would look all that good, but I would go purple because Talia Ryder, I was staring at the entire movie. She is the sister of the bad guy and is also the love interest of Maya Hawke. And just, wow.
She came out of nowhere. She really did. Yeah, I was staring as well. She was great. Yeah.
Okay, next lightning round question. What was the most 2022 like outfit or accessory?
I think the most 2022 element, possibly this entire movie, was like what they considered to be like what a popular guy looks like, in my opinion. He had the painted Harry Style nails. He had the dangly earring.
Oh my God.
Here and there. Like he had kind of the long floppy hair, which is like back in. Again, I think it's funny that he's like the dorky kid in Euphoria, but like, just the fact that they turn like him into like, this is a popular kid. And also, I thought it was really funny that they, when he like cheats, the way they spin it is being like, oh, well, they're ethically non-monogamous. They're poly. And people are like, oh, they're so progressive.
Yeah.
That was such a great plot twist also.
Yeah, it was funny.
But yeah, the painted nails plus the dangly earring, like being like the number one popular kid in school. I was like, this is 2022, like for sure.
Agreed. Yeah, I just sent you guys, there's this other outfit of his where he has like a camera strapped to his waist and four buttons unbuttoned. I think the most 2022 fit is this insane thing that Maya Hawke wears. And it's overalls, which are in, and that I'm also guilty of wearing, so I can't really talk. And it's matching. The pattern of the overalls is matching her ginormous bucket hat that she wears. And it's floral, and it's really bright, and it just... It's also like otherworldly. Like, is it 2022? I don't know. Right. But it's like alternate reality to match.
This would be like the summer Target line, like in the junior section where you're like, no one's really wearing that. But then like your cousin turns up in it at the barbecue and you're like, oh, yeah, people
like,
are
we're doing
that
now. Okay.
Yep. Exactly.
Got it.
Isn't a fit, but I loved the detail that Camila Mendes' character had like this plastic cup that she takes everywhere that had like flowers on it and it changed colors. It was like the J-Lo bedazzled cup. Just like, I feel like everyone always has, but like, in high schools now, they always have the water bottles or the cups.
Yeah, they do. Like, or it's like, you know, the brand Bando or whatever?
Yeah.
It's like a big Instagram
everyone
brand.
Everyone has
just, like cutesy stuff. Yeah.
Right. Everyone has their like water bottles. Hydration is like in. I don't know. Yeah. But
it is in.
Like sipping from her little cup, like in the halls of the school. I was like, that is wildly accurate, actually.
Yep. Yeah. I said there's a girl early on in this film and
Allegra.
Allegra, thank you. And she is rocking, she's one of the tarot girls.
The Zodiac
girlies, if you will. Yeah. And she's rocking like these bat wing little sunglasses and she's got like a spider web little hat going on. And everyone loves a spooky girly, you know?
This is a really good call.
You can see this
spooky girly season.
Yes. You would see this at like a Phoebe Bridgers concert or like, you know, this is again, like you could buy all of this on Shein right now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
They nailed it. They really did.
They did. They did.
On that note, what was the most 2022 line/reference in this movie?
a lot of options. A personal favorite, they were talking about, you know, hatching their revenge plot. And they go, I wish we could hire someone to take them down. And Camila Mendez goes, like a fucked up task rabbit? Just, I'd hire task rabbits a lot because I live by myself and I can't do things like move or move furniture by myself. Mm-hmm. So I thought that mm-hmm. was great. And then Maya Hawke has an emotional support bearded dragon that's named Oscar winner Olivia Colman.
Oh, God.
So
that's just nailed it. Listen, I remember like probably this is probably going back like eight or nine years ago because I'm old. But I remember being like, I want a cat named Christian Bale so I can be like, I'm hanging out with Christian Bale.
Same strategy.
Embarrassing. Still hits. It's fucking lame. Yeah,
joke
it's
still lands in 2022, yep. Amelia. You're fine. I guess this is not 2022. There's a very throwaway comment. Shout out to Elsa from Frozen. And again, not 2022, but then it leads to Maya Hawke calling her a frigid bitch, which I loved. But the real 2022 line was they're talking about this lead guy that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. And they call him the ultimate manic pixie dream boy. Max is a meticulously curated persona. And I feel like all of those words are just 2022.
Exactly.
It's so true.
Amelia, what do you have?
Mine is it's a voiceover from Camila Mendez. And she's mixing a lot of genres here. She says, looking back, it was a classic Icarus story. I flew too close to the sun, so my boyfriend leaked my sex tape. I was like,
classic.
Yep. Yeah, classic.
It happens.
So good.
It happens, man.
You know?
Oh, yeah. My God.
Good movie. Okay,
good movie.
I mm-hmm. wouldn't tell you to watch it because we just ruined the whole thing. But, you know, if you listen to that and you're interested, watch it.
Right.
All right, last category, Tea Time's unanswerable questions. Kate, go ahead.
Last week, former Ringer employee Sean Yu texted me, and he was like, mm-hmm. Jodie Comer deleted all the pictures of Sandra Oh off of her Instagram. What is happening? Are they feuding? Now, fresh off the heels of Don't Worry, Darling drama, when people were, you know, months ago were like, Florence Pugh hasn't posted about Olivia Wilde. You know, some people were like, meh, that's not anything. But we were like, we'll keep an eye on it. And look where we are now. So mm-hmm. when someone sent me a thing and was like, I'm noticing early possibility of a feud on Instagram, please look into it. I was like, I'll look into it. So I've done some digging. Obviously, I'm very invested in this as a former Killing Eve fan, although the last few seasons were just atrocious and I don't want to talk about it. Jodie Comer has, in fact, deleted many, if not all, of the pictures of Sandra Oh from her Instagram. I was like, first of all, is it possible to feud with Sandra Oh? She seems like the most delightful person of all time.
And
please don't make me pick sides. Don't make me pick a mother in this fight. I'll pick Sandra, but it'll be really hard for me personally. So I was looking on Twitter. People have noticed. People are speculating what it could be. My favorite theory is that they are not feuding. This seems to be the leading theory that Jodie Comer is going to be pulled into the MCU, possibly for Fantastic Four. And Marvel is like cleaning up her Instagram, deleting some of the like, maybe like more like gay stuff. I don't know if I buy that part of it. I think maybe just like cleaning stuff up in general. Yeah. And so she deleted them ahead of being announced as part of the MCU. Now we know that Marvel loves to get in people's little Instagrams. They love to get involved in the social media. So this actually does seem possible to me.
Wow.
But I'm searching desperately for an explanation that's not they're feuding.
That they're fighting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that would make me very sad.
Gosh. So. Has there been any threads of that in the past, Kate? Have there been any reports about?
I don't think they were besties. I don't, you know, they never seem the type to like hang out. So I, you know, I would believe it, honestly. But it also seems like people would have learned from Don't Worry, Darling to like, either not do this kind of thing or do it on purpose and like drum up some gossip. Right. So this feels purposeful in some way. I just don't know how, but
Your unanswerable question, just to be clear, is what is afoot?
Are they feuding and what's happening?
Yeah.
And why? Why did these pictures disappear? And do I have to choose one or the other? Because I don't want to. So I'm keeping an eye on it. And if she gets announced as being part of Marvel, then I will consider that my answer. But I'm concerned. I'm concerned for my faves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amelia? Sorry.
What's Amelia, question? This is great. This is so important.
Thank you. Well, you know... Blonde is afoot. I don't really know exactly when it's going to get released, but obviously sometime within the next couple of months. I think actually maybe pretty soon. Anyway, And Ana de Armas. Oh, sorry. September 28th is its premiere on Netflix.
Yeah,
very soon. So Ana de Armas has been, you know, she's making the rounds because she plays Marilyn Monroe in this kind of biopic, but not really fully. It's interesting. Anyway, she has been saying, you know, we got visited by Marilyn Monroe's ghost on set and she approved it and whatnot. And listen, as someone who has also encountered Marilyn Monroe's ghost within the last 6 months, she's a very nice ghost. She's very forgiving.
She's busy.
She's a busy... I was talking to my friend about it and she was like, Marilyn Monroe's ghost is booked and busy. Good for her, girl boss. Yeah, totally. And, you know, I don't remember how many episodes ago we talked about this. Was probably like back in June or something. But again, I was visited by Marilyn Monroe's ghost. I stand by that. She was actually very nice and was very
benevolent,
kind to me.
A benevolent spirit.
Exactly. Yeah. Through all the shit that she's been through in her life, you know, when she was alive, I just... We stan a thoughtful ghost.
Yeah, she chose forgiveness.
She chose forgiveness.
And Ana seems to have the same things to say, right? Apparently she visited her grave and asked for permission. And I don't know how permission was given. She was iffy on those details. People on Twitter were like, was she like, say something if you don't want me to do this?
Did she do the Demi Lovato Kesha thing where they're like, do this. And then the ghost or whatever did that or something. Yeah, it might have been that.
I don't know.
But anyway, I was just wondering, because I don't want to call Ana de Armas a liar by any means, because I don't think she is. But also, you know, this is a multi-million dollar movie. This
and
is
also,
a bit,
it's contentious.
It's some people super are contentious. Saying like
it does like, not do good things to the.
It doesn't. The New Yorker called it recently. Just Blonde is the Passion of the Christ for Marilyn Monroe. That's not. I don't think that's a nice.
People are like very exploitative and like not
exactly
not great. So calls into question of like, would she approve?
Would she approve? Exactly. Is Ana de Armas maybe fibbing a little bit? I don't know. I mean, again, an Oscar is essentially on the line for her. So I'm asking people, do you think I should, because last time I slept in my basement and that's why I conjured the spirit of Marilyn Monroe. Uh-huh. Do you think I should try to sleep in my basement again to conjure the spirit of Marilyn Monroe to ask her thoughts on Ana de Armas' performance in Blonde?
I think you have to. I think
yes.
For the spirit of science and journalistic integrity, you owe it to yourself and to our listeners to follow up.
Amelia, you have to do it quick, though. This movie's coming out in only a couple days.
Okay, I'll do it soon.
Get down there ASAP.
Now, do you do it before or after you watch it?
That's a
Are you
going to
watch
question.
It? You're probably not. You don't want to watch it.
Oh, I
Maybe you
did.
Should ask. Oh, you are. Oh, wow. Maybe you should ask her, one, if she approves, and two, if you should watch it.
Okay, so I'm putting my life at risk twice here. Okay, that sounds good.
You can ask at the same time.
Don't just say she's a friendly ghost.
No, she is. She's nice. Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry. Don't say anything.
You can apologize when you see her. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Please but yeah, you do have to do this in some shape.
Okay, form. I will.
Yeah. Maybe by next week. Yes, let's put you on a time crunch. Okay, anyway, that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you to Kaya, our producer. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kit Howell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.